The Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Sportsnet, NHL Insider, Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, when I saw you tweet last night that the Predators and Penguins had made a deal, Tommy Novak and Luke Shen, for Michael Bunting and a fourth-round pick, it was a bit of a head-scratcher for me. Can you explain the rationale behind this move from both teams' perspectives?
Well, I think... Hold on one second. What happened to my car play here? So I think for you guys, it's simply, Adam, that you guys want to make a change. As we all know... It's a situation where you guys have not been happy with your mix, and I think that's simply it. There had been some interest in Shen. There had been some interest in Novak. Novak last year, you'll remember, there was a lot of interest in him, but ultimately you guys decided to keep him, right?
Yes.
So I think that you guys just kind of went back and looked and saw who else was out there. And Bunting, like, Pittsburgh had just about everybody available, right? So I think that you guys are looking for a different mix, Adam. And, you know, I like Michael. He's an edgy guy. He plays hard. I bet you guys just wanted some energy, some different energy.
So by making this trade, the Predators free up $1.75 million in cap space. Could you see this move as a precursor to something else between now and the deadline tomorrow afternoon for the Predators?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Barry's open. He's been pretty open about it. Like that, everybody knows what he wants to do. So I don't think you guys are done. I don't think you guys are done by any stretch of the imagination. I think you have to be ready for anything.
Do you think that could involve just moving players out, or do you think a young player perhaps could be coming in for the future?
I think you have to be prepared for anything. I really do. Like, I know that it's a boring answer and you're hoping for something a little more in depth, but I think Barry has indicated that he's not. Look, it's been a disappointing season. Nobody's happy with the way it went down. I'll say this, that one came out of left field. When someone sent me the note that one was happening, I was like, really? Like I was like, that's not one I was expecting. So I just don't know how you can't be prepared for Trotz to do just about anything.
Switching gears here for a moment, you had an update last night at Sportsnet.ca regarding Mikko Rantanen. He is the player everybody is wondering about between now and tomorrow afternoon. You wrote yesterday, according to multiple sources, the Hurricanes are doing their due diligence, checking out potential returns as either a rental or with an extension, assuming he's willing to sign anywhere before July 1st. What more can you tell us about this story since you wrote that update last night?
I think it's still going on. I'll say this. I think there's two things. Sorry, Adam. I was just, as you could tell, I was a little distracted there. Now I've got this all sorted out. But I think that I think there's two things at play here, Adam. Number one, where is he willing to sign? And number two, is there really a rental deal that makes any sense for Carolina? If he's willing to sign somewhere, I think there's the possibility Carolina could get some good packages in return. But if it's simply rental, and I think there's teams out there interested in rentals, but what kind of rental package is going to interest the Hurricanes? Now, I'll say this. As a rental, he's $2.3 million. Almost anybody at 50% retained, almost anyone can do it. I think that would drive up the price. I think there are some teams that can't sign him that would love to get him as a rental. So I think that would drive up the price a bit. But really, is there anything rental-wise that would make the Hurricanes do it? I think the key is, will he sign somewhere? And I think the answer is yes. I wonder about teams like Dallas. If the answer is yes, maybe LA, though I heard it was unlikely. If the answer is yes, I think there's a good trade out there that can be made.
Elliot Friedman is with us, and I know, Elliot, you're constantly looking to see what's going on around the league and in real time as you talk to us, so we appreciate you coming on here during this crazy 24-hour period that's not going to end until 2 o'clock tomorrow our time. So I guess 25 hours, the next 25 will be crazy. I want to ask you about Novak. And now that Novak is – they're moving on, right? They have come to the conclusion in their mind that he's not the answer at the price he is. I was thinking they might ride it out and have him just say, look, he's not a second-line center, but can he be a good sneaky source of offense at 3.5? That's debatable, but they've now moved on. So my question for you is, with the extra cap space that they have specifically, you've mentioned guys like Casey Mittelstadt and Dylan Cousins. I don't know if there's any other centers that would sort of fit that mix. Do you think that they could be now in the mix to look at specifically those type of guys?
Yeah, I think so. Like, Casey Mittelstadt's an interesting guy. Now, the problem is, if you're in Nashville, you've seen him up close. And, like, you take a look at the challenge he had this year, or last couple years, they wanted to make him their 2C, right? And it didn't work, Willie. So how comfortable do you feel that it's going to work any better in Nashville than it did in Colorado?
That would be the question. Your scouts would have to tell you that Mittelstadt is a lot better than Novak. But it's like everybody else, right? You get a new set of strengths and weaknesses, and time would tell. But this is the problem. Like, everybody right now is going back through all the moves that Barry Trotz has made. He was red hot last year. This year it hasn't gone nearly as well. And so now everybody's like, well, what next?
Well, I think the thing is, I think that, like, the deal yesterday, that's like a low-risk deal to me. It's like, hey, we need to shake up. You need to shake up. Like, Bunting plays hard. He drives people crazy sometimes, but he plays hard. I really like him. I can see why you guys would take a shot at him. It makes sense to me. And you know what? So I look at that, maybe you guys have traded guys this year, like Tomasino, Parsonen. They didn't fit with you, me, and other people are like, oh, maybe they'll fit with us better. And that's probably the kind of thing you're looking at now, is there somebody else out there who doesn't fit as well with us that, or with them, that we can make it work. So I can see you looking at Mittelstadt. The danger about a guy like Casey Mittelstadt is that, like I said, it didn't work for him behind McKinnon. How comfortable are you that it's going to be better with you?
What about Cousins, who has a longer term and a higher number, but is younger? And, of course, you spent a lot of time on your podcast, I know, talking about the mysteries of Buffalo, right, where they draft high. They've got a lot of guys that look promising at one point or another. Mittelstadt used to be in that category. And then they seem to go other places and blossom. So what's the latest with Cousins, and how would you compare Cousins as somebody that Barry Trotz might hone in on in comparison to Mittelstadt?
Willie, I think he would be absolutely all over Cousins. I do. I don't see why. First of all, he's signed. He's still young. He's shown a lot of promise. Here's the problem. Buffalo wants NHL players in return for Cousins, impactful ones. Do you see a match?
If I'm Buffalo, probably not.
Yes.
I think they have a lot of assets. They've got prospects, but I don't think there's an NHL guy.
Deal. They're not doing a picks and prospect deal for Cousins. They're not doing that.
So that so you have to have somebody that could help them immediately if you want to get in
right now. Right now.
Tommy Novak could have been that guy, perhaps, as part of it. But
well, what that says to me, guys, is that Barry probably asked them. Like, I can't imagine he would have traded Tommy Novak to Pittsburgh in that deal if he had any inkling that Tommy Novak would have been acceptable for the Sabres.
Right.
That says to me that he pitched it. It wasn't what Buffalo wanted, and he went in a different direction.
What do you think the market looks like now? We noticed that Nico Sturm was traded. There's a fourth line center. You categorized the centers really well last week in that you've got your skilled centers, Mittelstadt, Cousins, guys like that, and then you've got those workman-like guys that could be a piece on a winning team. So what do you think the market is looking like right now for Michael McCarron and Colton Sissons?
Probably something similar to that. Well, Sissons has term, right?
So he's got 1 year left. McCarron has one year left as well.
Right. I got to think I would think the price for Sissons is a little bit higher. I'll say this, guys. Like, if you would have told me this morning Brian Dumoulin was going for a second and a prospect, I don't think I would have believed that. I would think the market for McCarron and Sissons is a little bit higher than what Sturm went for this morning. But I'll say this, it's a seller's market out there. The one thing is, like, the teams are going to go after, like, Braden Shan, like Scott Laughton now, he's going for a first rounder. After what Tampa did yesterday with Seattle, that's a first rounder. So you've got and I don't think McCarron and Sissons are going for that, but I think it's probably higher than what Sturm just went for.
Mm. One other thing that's happened.
The thing is there's about six or seven of these guys, right? Now, some of them are starting to come off the market. Sturm is gone, but there's Suter in Vancouver. There's Bjugstad in Utah. Although he's not playing tonight, they're saying he's sick. We'll see. The problem is that you can probably have your pick of these kinds of guys. So you're like Florida, they don't have a lot of assets. Sturm's a really good player. They probably just said, like, that's about as much as we can afford to pay.
Here's one thing that has happened since we started talking to you. The waivers came down. And
yeah.
Jacob
That's why
Vrana.
I was so distracted. I was trying to type them all out.
Yeah. So Jacob Vrana. It's interesting. Jordan Osterley has been claimed by the Predators, who need bodies of defensemen. Osterley actually scored a goal in Boston the other night against the Predators, and now he's playing. He'll be playing for the Predators, probably not tonight. So he's a journeyman guy. Jacob Vrana is the other guy they just claimed. He's a little bit more intriguing. Yep. Not too long ago.
And was coached by Barry Trotz in Washington.
Yes, he was coached by Barry Trotz. And correct me if I'm wrong, he has a cup with Barry Trotz in the prime of his career.
He scored his Stanley Cup winning. No, he didn't score the Stanley Cup winning goal. He scored a big goal, but it wasn't the cup winner.
He had a 25-goal season there and has really fallen on hard times. What's happened to him? He's changed addresses a ton since then. Why has he not been a fit in the next phase of his career?
Well, you know, I'll say this. He's been through some challenges. He was in the program a little bit, and luckily he's in a better place now. So I think there was that. And I'm glad to see that he's back and he's healthy and he's doing very well. You know what? I think that unfortunately, I just think that his play fell off. I really like Jacob as a person. I'll tell you a story about him. When they won the Stanley Cup that year, when they won game four, they were up 3-1. They had 2 days off before they had to go back to Vegas. And the first day off, I went to the Capitals practice, and every regular was off. Nobody skated except for Vrana. And I went up to him and I said, every regular who played last night is off. Why are you out here? And he said, I can't score. I need to practice. I have to be able to score. And he went out in game five and he scored a big goal. I always remembered that. Whenever I see him, we've always kind of joked about that. Look, unfortunately, it's just, It hasn't worked out as well for him lately. His play has fallen off. Some of it, I think, is a little bit of pace. The game got faster. He had a bit of a challenge sometimes. He's a great kid. I hope it works out for him. That's like, Nashville taking a chance. And I'll say this, too, about the Predators, and this is one of the things I really like about your organization. They've always been great for guys who've battled things off the ice to come back and try and make it. And I really like the fact that you guys do that.
Elliot, before we let you go, the Los Angeles Rams are known to have popularized the term F them picks when they won their Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Lightning are doing the exact same thing.
Yes.
You mentioned the Seattle Kraken. They're here in Nashville tonight to face the Predators. They traded Yanni Gourde and Oliver Bjorkstrand to the Lightning. They get two first-round picks back. And I appreciate the fact that Julien Brisebois, the GM of the Lightning, realizes that if this team is going to be good, those first-round picks are going to be late first-round picks. Not all first-round picks are created equal. He's going for it. What do you make of what the Lightning have been able to do and what they have done at the deadline?
I say this. I think you can always do that when you're a destination. Not every team can do that. Like Tampa knows, great weather, no state tax, excellent organization, players always willing to play there. He can do that. If he didn't have those things, he couldn't do it that way. But I'll say one thing about Brisebois. He's ruthless. He makes hard decisions, and I love that press conference.
Steven Stamkos learned that very well last year.
Yes. Ryan McDonough, you'll remember, and then he went back. That just shows you how much guys want to play there.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider. He's going to be a very busy man, by the way, during the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast last week. They had a camera on Elliot in a conference room with how many tablets you had open, I don't even know. But you were hard at work, and they gave you a glamour shot during the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast. I got a good laugh out of that.
I got to tell you, Adam, that's the first time me and Glamour Shot have been used in the same sentence.
Well, I'm glad that I could do that for you, Elliot. I know you're a busy man between now and the deadline tomorrow. Thank you so much for taking time to join us.
No worries, guys. Sorry. I'm sorry I was a little distracted at the beginning. It's been a little bit crazy.
I'm sure it is. We will keep your updates front of mind over the next 24 hours. Elliot Friedman joining us from Sportsnet NHL Insider. Brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot had to say. We'll also take your reaction on the Predators trade last night. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.